You were commissioned to do the most violent movie possible. I wonder how you reacted to accepting an assignment like that.
Well, I didn't feel so hot about it, to be frank. In fact, I had a lot of qualms about doing such a thing. However, at the time, I was driving a cab in New York, out of work, and had a wife and two kids, and I was, at the same time, really excited about the idea of being offered a motion picture to write, direct, and edit, especially since my last job had been, a very rudimentary job in a film. In other words, I was very new to the business, and this was an extraordinary stroke of luck to be offered a film to make from top to bottom. So I had very mixed feelings about it. I didn't want to do particularly a violent film. On the other hand, I did want to do a film very much.
What reaction did you want your audience to have when they were sitting through some of the rape, when they were sitting through the rape and murder sequence?
Well, I don't think I ever had a specific reaction in mind. You know, once you get into the process of making a film, you're not being quite so methodical about it, I don't think. At least I wasn't. Essentially, what I wanted to do is people to have strong reactions and for the scenes to be as effective as possible, as strong as possible, and in some way as true as possible. And perhaps that latter business was the most important to me at the time. In other words, if I was doing a violent scene, I felt like it should be really violent, not just extremely bloody, for instance, because if you look at the film again, if you ever could bring yourself to do it, it's not in most places especially bloody. But, for instance, Night of the Living Dead or something is much more bloody, but it's real. It seems to me, and it seems to people that I've seen watching it, to seem very real. And I think that is why it is so disturbing.
It was really real. As a matter of fact, when I was seeing the movie, I almost felt, it was so real, it felt almost like a home movie. I felt like, you know, a neighbor had made a documentary about their murder, and I was watching their home movie on this murder, because it just seemed, it seemed that real. And let me tell you about my reaction, and tell me what you think of this. I was sitting there saying, gosh, this is really awful. I don't want to see this. This is just going to give me images for nightmares. Who needs this? Why am I doing this to myself? And I figured my alternative reaction was to work really hard at detaching myself from what was going on the screen. And I figured, well, why should I use all that energy to undo an emotion that's probably really appropriate? I mean, I figured it was probably appropriate to really be horrified at what I was watching.
Right.
What do you think about that reaction?
Well, it sounds like a healthy reaction to me. You know, I really think that it's not the sort of movie that I would go to, I don't believe. At the time that I made it, it was not the sort of movie I went to. My feeling when I was making it is, okay, if these people are going to be paying money to go in and see somebody killed, which in effect you're doing when anybody is doing if they go to a movie that they know is a murder thriller, then they're going to see what I feel this business is really like. As I mentioned to someone once before, it was during the height of the Vietnamese War, and I felt like America as a whole country, myself, was becoming immune to violence. We were watching it. I literally was watching people dying on my television screen while I was eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and several times caught myself, you know, with mouthfuls of food and nausea coming over me. What, you know, this is horrible. I mean, this is really horrible. What's going on there? And at the same time, we're sitting, you know, eating dinner.
You know what I've been wondering? Like, if I really understand what you're saying, and I know that the movies I grew up on, even like the World War II and World War I movies, people were killed without any blood ever coming out.
That's right.
I think there's like,
and even when blood did come out, when it first came into the movies in a big way with Peckinpah, he used slow motion, and the squibs somehow weren't really
very stylized.
Still, it was very stylized and ballet-like, and I still felt like you didn't really get down to the essence of the act, and that was depriving a living thing, a human being, of its life, of its very life force. And, it went beyond a simple matter of pulling a trigger. It went down into the, you had to look at that thing struggling to maintain that life, even though it had been shot. or stabbed or whatever. It would, you know, it went back to something that happened to me when I was a kid. I don't know whether you'd be interested in hearing it, but
I would.
At one point in my life, when I was living in kind of a poor neighborhood, we lived next to a railroad yard, and I don't think I probably, looking back on it, was very happy with my life. But anyway, one thing I found to sort of get rid of my craziness was I got a mail order bow and arrow set. I mean, a legitimate one, and I started hunting. And the only thing to hunt there were rats, because the railroad yard had this area where they kicked grain out of a cattle cart, and there were a lot of rats. And I started, almost by accident, started hunting rats. And it went a whole year before I got near to even hitting a rat. It turned out they were extremely canny, very, very alert. And I never got close to one for the first 6 months because I wasn't that good a shot. But I kept practicing and kept hunting these things and kept wishing I would get one. Finally, one evening, almost dark, I took a shot at a rat after stalking it for half an hour, after sitting quietly and waiting for it to come out just right. I shot and I hit the thing. And at that moment, this little tiny animal let out this enormous scream that echoed over all the boxcars in the stockyard and chilled me to the bone. I realized that what I had been thinking and fantasizing was totally different from what I had actually done. And not only that, but the thing was still alive. And I went down and I said, well, this is a rat. You know, nobody likes rats, but I had to kill it. And it took a lot of killing to kill that rat, and it continued screaming for a long time. And I tell you, when I was done, I was totally drained. I was totally shocked by not only what I had done for amusement, but how fiercely that thing struggled to stay alive. And that moment never left me. You know, I never again hunted, never killed, but I remembered how hard just a rat struggled to be alive. And somehow I was able to transfer that to, you know, the thought of any human being, anything, how fiercely we all hang on to life. You know,
I really understand what you're saying, and I think that really came across in the film.
In Last House, nobody died easily.
That's right. But, you know, I looked around me, because I understand what you're saying about films being bloodless sometimes or being too stylized, and you don't really understand what murder is really like and how horrible it is and how difficult it actually is to kill someone. But I was looking around in the audience when I saw Last House on the Left, and somehow the range of reaction that the audience seemed to have was somewhere between immunity to the violence and actually digging what was happening. And I don't know what kinds of audiences you've seen your film with, but how do you feel about that type of reaction to it, immunity or enjoyment?
Well, I've never seen immunity, frankly. I've seen people everything from shocked to disgusted to nauseated or angered, a lot of anger. And the other reaction I've seen sometimes is cheers when what some of those people would call the good guys, the parents and so forth, turn the tables and kill the bad guys. I find it scary. I've heard about audiences like that where they're all up on their feet and cheering and so forth. I've never seen an audience that was cheering when the bad guys, quote, quote, were killing the girls. But, you know, I would find that chilling. It certainly wasn't what I intended. But I've heard about that.
Yeah. No, I'm sure the marketing is completely out of your control, but when the film recently played in Philadelphia on a double bill with the Amityville Horror, the ad for Last House on the Left had this in it: to avoid feigning, keep repeating, it's only a movie, it's only a movie, it's only a movie. And then it also said, Mary, 17, is dying. Even for her, the worst is yet to come.
Right.
What do you think of advertising like that?
Well, that, as a matter of fact, is the original ad campaign, word for word,
mm-hmm.
And came out in 1971. It was totally a product of an ad department someplace. I don't even know who did that. Actually, they struck a real nerve in what they chose to say, because the picture originally was released under three titles as an experiment in three separate towns, all with the same demographics. And two of the titles, the picture did nothing. You know, it had strong audience reaction when people came to see it, but the people that came to see it for the ad were very few. But in the town where it played under the title of Last House on the Left, they had an enormous turnout from the ad. So whatever that ad campaign did, people remember it years and years later. Some people say, well, what was your first picture? And I'll say Last House on the Left. They say, oh, that was the one, keep repeating, it's only a movie, it's only a movie. So the campaign was very, very you know, very strong. Certainly it's exploitive, you know, what it says about Mary, and actually inaccurate as well. But, you know, you have no control over what is done with the picture once you make it, I must say.
Have you been following the life of your movie now that it's been having a life of its own for about 8 years?
On and off. It's the sort of movie that once you do it, you don't sort of want to think about it that much, especially because it's had a lot of negative reactions from people. You know, you sort of want to go on and do other things. But I have certainly been aware of it. From time to time, somebody writes an article on it, or like last year, I was invited to the Toronto Film Festival when they were doing a series on the American Nightmare, which was a treatment of American horror films. And then, you know, you sort of have to look at it again and relive it and bring up all those old issues again. But usually I don't think about it that much. Yeah.
Do you worry about your films creating violence or like teaching people how to murder?
No.
Because that's, I know...
I think people have known for millennia how to murder. Nobody needs to teach them. And I really don't think I think the whole argument of, you know, a film might cause somebody to go out and murder somebody is a specious argument. I just don't buy it at all. If anything, I think of it as a sort of a release valve for people. It seems to be a need. I think really the choice last year of the Toronto Film Festival of the American Nightmare for horror film really was a very wise choice, in that I see horror films as a sort of a public nightmare. Something that you can go to and exercise some sort of demons. I don't understand exactly how it works. But then again, I don't understand how nightmares work, but I know that the body produces them. And it's not as if some part of the brain says, hey, why do we have to, you know, manufacture nightmares? Why upset the brain? I think nightmares and horror films reflect something that is already there. And in a sense, they deal with it in some sort of beneficial way. I don't know quite how it functions, but I really do have a strong feeling that it's a beneficial or necessary thing, given the society that it's coming out of.